great and precious promises. That by these, by receiving these promises into our life, we might be partakers of the holy nature.
Amen.
That's an incredible, incredible thing for God to allow us to do, to partake of His holy nature. Because we by nature, the Bible said, were the children of wrath.
Amen.
Before we got saved, it was our natural order to follow the course of this world. Amen. And be of our father the devil. We actually had his nature. Amen. This is a spiritual reality based on a historical fact, something that happened in the garden. Amen.
Amen.
And we were by nature the children of wrath.
Amen.
We sinned by nature and we drew God's consternation and judgment to ourselves. But when we believed on Jesus, He did more than just wipe that slate clean. He gave us, imparted to us, a new nature. The Bible said of that new nature, His seed remaineth in us, that we sin not. It doesn't mean you can't sin. Doesn't mean you don't sin. It means when you do sin, it's going against the new nature. You're not comfortable following that. If you can sin without conviction, without conscience, without repentance, you've never been saved.
That's right.
You said, oh, I was saved back when I was 12. I said, if you can sin without conscience, without conviction, without repentance, and continue in it comfortably, you have never met Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, if you continue in sin with no conscience about it, you're of your father, the
that's
devil.
Right, amen.
Don't lie and say something that's different. Your nature is reflecting the fact that you're comfortable with the course of this world. But if you're a Christian and you are in compromise, believe me, you're not a happy camper or a Christian or a sinner.
Amen.
You're worse. The sinners that are without conscience are happier than you are. They're destined for judgment, but they're happier. You know why? Because you're going against the nature.
Amen.
Amen. There are things that I could do tonight that would go against the new nature in me. Not because I'm a preacher, because I'm a Christian.
Amen.
It would go against that new nature.
Yeah.
And my conscience would eat on me and tear at me. And God's conviction would come on me. Amen. And I just don't. Why should I? And besides, why should I want to follow that course that leads to destruction? When I can follow the path that leads to eternal life and enjoy the peace and joy and fulfillment that that path offers me tonight. I love the Lord tonight, and I just don't ever want to even, I can honestly say going back is not something I have ever considered since I've been saved. Now, there are people who've struggled with that. I personally have been fortunate enough that I have seen, I guess I lived long enough in sin, and it didn't take me long to get a belly full of it. 21 years old, everything was about to fall apart, and our marriage couldn't have stood the pressure of sin much longer. We've been married 45 years now. We've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Grandchild. I wouldn't trade anything. I wouldn't trade anything for what I have in Jesus Christ tonight. What a treasure. And what a legacy I'm going to leave. Because my life has been pressured and there's been heartache and heartbreak along the way. But we used to sing the old song, I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. And though trouble overtake me along life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. The suicide rate in middle-aged people is starting to spiral. It's back again in the United States of America. It's on the rise. People that become so hopeless in life and people with all these opportunities that we have in America, and yet people that other nations would look at as rich, even though we struggle with our finances because we're trying to pay for a light bill that includes air conditioning, cable TV, digital phone service. Cell phone service. We're paying for things other people wouldn't even dream of, and that's what we're struggling with. They're just trying to get enough rice and beans to sustain a family for one more day. And yet there's people killing themselves in America. And the middle age, amazingly middle age. Well, do you know what one of the greatest reasons for death in young people is? It's suicide. Young people with their whole life before them and all kinds of opportunities in America. And yet people take their own life at an alarming rate in America. And it's an incredible thing that so many people are so empty and unfulfilled. And yet the world, through sin and Satan's lies, keep telling us that you can have this and you can have that and you can be happy. And what a crock.
Amen.
I'm talking about a crocodile, of course. Amen. What a terrible, what a lying devil, amen, that tells people these lies. Amen. And church has become, you know, something less than what God wanted it to be, because we're not teaching people they can have a personal relationship with Jesus that doesn't just sanctify you, but satisfies you.
Amen.
Can you say amen? You know what is the great buffer against sin? Is being so satisfied in Jesus, you wouldn't trade what you have for anything the devil has to offer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to satisfy your soul, saith the Lord. I want to give you the living water that I promised the woman at the well, so that you won't thirst anymore. For as long as you keep looking for something other than what I have to offer, you will never find it. You will spend a lifetime looking for that elusive thing called fulfillment and happiness that Satan can't give the world through sin, but I can give you through my Son, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, I wouldn't trade shoes with anybody tonight, because I know my walk with God, and it's a fulfilling walk in Him. And it leads to eternal life when this life is over. So I wouldn't trade places with anybody tonight. I wouldn't trade places with Bill Gates. I wouldn't trade places with Mr. Obama tonight. He's got a heavy load. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and it's going to come down on him because they don't have George W. to nail anymore. There's a new kid in town. Can you say amen? And all these people that loved him, when something goes wrong, look out, honey. They can turn on you like that. I know I have had people do. Anyway, we won't even go. It's a pastor thing. I won't even tell it here. Anyway, let's join hands tonight. God is so good. Lord has loved me through it all, so it'll all be okay. Praise God. Heal my broken heart and other parts of my character and nature. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for Jesus. I thank you for the enthusiasm with which people have worshiped you from the heart tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the good news that you have given us in troubled times. I thank you to be one of those people who can actually bring a positive, hopeful message and base it on biblical truth, even in troubled times. There is a good word for your children tonight in these troubled times. And Lord, it is a privilege and an honor to be counted among the persecuted, but counted among those that are your sons and your daughters tonight. Lord, we just praise you to be part of your great family tonight, as well as saved by your grace. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe we can teach a little while this evening. We did hear from Alice today that there is a possibility, some good news about the radio station, that the man is not interested in selling unless they give him some extraordinary can't turn it down price. And I love the way Betty answered the lady who was representing the people who want to buy the station, get rid of all gospel programming, music and preaching on it. It's not all day long on there now. It's part, you know, it's classic country music and classic gospel music and some preachers that get on and preach the gospel along with myself. But the guy who owns the station is not one of these people that wants to just make a quick buck, and that's a good thing. And I love what Betty said, if I can say it in the right words, said the only way the station could be sold if it's God's done with it and done with the gospel part of it, and if he's not done with it, then nobody can buy it at any price or something. She didn't say those words. I'm adding a little bit, but the lady hung up on her, to say the least. Not because she was rude, just because she said that, you know, God is actually in control of all of these things. Can you say amen? People don't like to hear that in these days. They think they're in control. Amen. And what a, Sean, that's better than an amen. That is absolutely laughable. I want to read to you tonight from Psalm 60, and I want to try to put some of these psalms. The psalms always have relevance, but they even have more relevance when we see them in the context of the chronological order that they were written. Psalm 51 was written, and Psalm 32 in particular, are psalms that were written when David was going through deep repentance after committing horrendous sin. And you can see the deep repentance. And you, if you read the story of David's folly and failure, then you can appreciate how sincere he was when he wrote Psalm 51. Because he said, "Wash me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me." Amen. And take not the Holy Spirit from me. Then will I teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted unto you. Restore unto me. Here's that restoration that God always wants to bring. He doesn't just want to forgive us and say, okay, live with the consequences of your sin. He says, I want to restore years unto you that sin has robbed you of, and your own bad decisions that caused you to sin has robbed you of. Amen. But he wrote Psalm 51 in deep repentance. And then he wrote Psalm 32, same way, in the context of this deeper, you understand the story of his folly, his sin, his horrendous sin against God. And then you read Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgression after he received that forgiveness and restoration from the Lord. Blessed, happy to be envied is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. When I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all the day long. Didn't I tell you? If you've got a heart for the things of God, you can sin, but you can't do it and be happy in it. Amen. Amen. You will always be like David, that heaviness. He said, my moisture was turned to drought. I just literally withered inside and dried up. So if you think sin is going to satisfy you, just listen to a great sinner by the name of David who found a great salvation in his God and a great forgiveness in his God. Hallelujah. He said to us today and to anyone found through time to don't be like the oxen mule that has to be turned about by the bit and bridle, lest it turn and rend you, turn around and bite you instead of obey you. And don't be like that you have to put the bit and bridle. Don't let it take pressure and pain to get you to the place where God can bless you again. Amen. The pressure and the pain that comes through corrective judgments and chastisements is not God being vengeful to us or wanting to hurt us. It's God wanting to keep us from destruction. Can you say amen? The mother who spanks a child that's opened the gate and ran out into the road in front of the house, and finally, after all else fails, she spanks the child, is not trying to hurt her child. She's trying to help her child. How many know that's the truth? Amen. How many's ever got a spanking in your life? Amen. Do you think your mama wanted to hurt you or wanted to help you? Well, there's about 14 said help, and we're praying for the rest of you. Can you say amen? Maybe you're fresh out of a sin. Anyway, we'll move right along. But God is good. Even his love is an expression of, even his chastisement is an expression of his love. And it is a confirmation that you belong to him. Now, I've said this before, and I've saw people squirm, so I'm going to try not to look at anyone tonight. I don't like to see people squirm, but when you squirm, it just draws attention. Amen. So don't squirm. Just try to hold still, even if it gets to you, and I won't look at you to see why you're squirming. Can you say? I've literally seen people squirm around in the seat because of a particular part of a message. Some people have not even been back to church since, so evidently I was right about the squirming. Amen. It wasn't the seats were too hard. It was just the message was too close to home. Listen, if you can sin and there's no chastisement, you don't belong to God. You are not his child. You say, well, I did this, I did that, I was baptized, I was christened, I walked down the aisle, I prayed a prayer. It doesn't matter. If you can sin without chastisement, amen, number one, without conviction, number two, without chastisement, you don't belong to God. Amen. Every child of his, he chastised. That's why the guy that got him got up this morning with no thought of God, took the Lord's name in vain. The first thing he did when something went wrong today, amen. He filled a ice chest with beer. He got in his SUV, hooked it to his boat, went down to Tampa Bay, got in that boat. Don't give God the time of day. Don't care a thing about the Lord. Went out there and fished all day, drank his beer, took the Lord's name in vain. He's going to come home tonight, put that boat in. If he got fish, his wife's going to have to cook him cooking for him. Amen. And he's going to eat a big fish dinner. He's going to go to bed. And he's going to get up tomorrow. He's going to go to work. And God will not get the time of day. Amen. And God is not going to sink his boat out there. Amen. He's not going to cause some kind of terrible thing to happen on the way back and the SUV blow up and the boat turn over. And amen. You know who that's going to happen to? If I did it. Can you say amen? If I did it, believe me, you don't want to be around me. Amen. Because you might get in the way of the chastisement. Honestly, ask Jonah. Amen. You can't act that way without, if you belong to him. And he said this, the Bible says this, if you're without chastisement, you're not a child of God. You don't belong to him. It uses the term bastard there. It says you're an illegitimate child that can't call God your father. Amen. But if he chastens you, then you're his son. Because he chastens every son that he, L-O-V-E-S, loves. And he scourges. And that means the chastening really hurts. Everybody say it really hurts.
It really hurts.
And not to hurt us, though. The hurt is not to hurt us. It's to keep sin from destroying us.
Amen.
And Satan from destroying us.
Right.
It's an act of love from a parent who really cares about his children. Can you say amen? And in the life of David, there was hurtful things that come to bring him to a place of repentance so God could restore him. I wonder how much pain it's going to take in some people's lives before they surrender to God. That's why David said, you don't have to be pressured and have pressure and pain. That's what the bit and bridle does. The horse, whatever you're riding, don't be like the horse or the mule that the only way you can get him to turn is the bit and bridle. Amen? Bit and bridle puts a little pressure, but a horse that's not rebelling is going to go ahead and move in the way you put a little pressure, the horse moves. Amen? But if you're rebellious, then you're pulling one way, he's pulling the other way, then there's pressure and pain. And David came under pressure and pain. God had to use the bit and bridle on occasion to get David to the place of repentance. And when he did it because he loved him and wanted to restore him. Can you say amen? Well, listen to this psalm, and we'll put it in a context for just a few. Are you interested in this message tonight?
Amen.
Number one, it says, O God, thou hast cast us off. Now, that's how it looked when the chastisement came. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O, turn thyself to us again. Sometimes you don't miss your blessing till it's gone. But believe me, if God removed his covering from your life, if you said, Lord, I don't want to go your way. I don't appreciate the benefit of living under your covering. I want to do my thing. I'm really not interested in what your plan is for my life. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to come out from under the covering of being under your wing gives me. And I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to tell you something. When God backs off, the enemy moves in. Can you say? Everybody say the enemy moves in. Satan couldn't touch Job until God let the hedge down for a divine purpose to be realized. But as long as that hedge or wall of righteousness surrounded him, Satan couldn't touch him or anything that he had. Only when the hedge came down could the enemy get to him. And when the enemies of God's people begin to prevail over them, they knew there's something wrong here. Amen. And it's not because our enemies are greater than our God. It's something wrong between us and our God. We fix that. He returns to us. And if he returns to us, our enemies are going to fall back. David loved that place in the Lord where he could pray and see his enemies fall back.
Amen.
Amen. I think it's Psalm 57 where he said, the day that I pray, my enemies fall back. This one thing I know, the Lord is for me. What did the New Testament say in that same vein? What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So the issue isn't who's against you. The issue is always and always will be for the Christian. Is God and can God really stand up for you?
Amen.
Make sure you're right with God. Someone said, fear the Lord and you need fear nothing else. Fear the Lord and you need fear no one else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But listen to verse 2 of Psalm 60. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Here's the chastening of the Lord. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, though, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. I'm going to read it again because he said to read it again and let it sink in. But you have given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Can you say amen? That's the place you want to be in God, where God takes up the fight. God takes up the battle. I do not want, amen, to ever, ever give Satan the credibility for any defeat in my life as long as I live. I do not want to blame the devil. I hear people saying all the time, making excuses for their personal failure, the failure of Christian leadership, and we're all human beings and we all have problems. But listen to me. We keep saying, well, they were so influential, the devil really wanted to get them. So he brought them down because they had such... Listen, if the devil can do that to anybody, he can do it to everybody. Can you say amen? If he could do it to me, he would have done it. He wouldn't have waited till this many years of sowing the seed of the gospel. Amen. Literally, remember what Jesus said? I want to clarify that. We can't study all of this tonight. It's too great. But I want to clarify something. When Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan had desired to have you, it was in the plural, not the singular. It wasn't just addressed to Peter. Because Peter was called to be an apostle. I want you to hear it clearly tonight. When he said you, amen, it was in the plural. It meant all of you believers, all of you followers of me. Amen. This was not something just for Simon Peter, that somehow because that he had a great ministry before him, Satan had singled him out. Jesus literally said, Satan has singled all of you out. Amen. Every one of you that follow me has been singled out. And it was in the plural. Say it with me. It was in the plural. In the actual Greek, it's in the plural. Satan has desired to have all of you, is the way they understood that. All of you. He was saying it to Peter, but it was inclusive of all the church, all of the Christians, all of the followers of Jesus. Have you found out that you don't have to be a major evangelist to the world to have the devil on your case? Amen. How many's found that out? Evidently, your prayer intimidates him. Evidently, your personal witness, amen, is something he would like to squelch. Evidently, he would like to sift you as the wheat. He would like to destroy you, to sift you as the wheat. But here's what Jesus says to us, all of us. But I have prayed for you. That means when the enemy comes against you, Christ stands up to intercede for you. You may think you don't have a friend in this world. Honey, you got a friend that's out of this world. Amen. And in this world. Amen? Jesus intercedes for me when I'm weak. Jesus intercedes for me. Isn't that a pleasing thing? I like to think of my brothers and sisters doing that as well. But even if they forget, and even if they didn't, amen? The Lord stands up and intercedes. Amen. Hallelujah. I have prayed for you that what? That your faith fail not. And not if you're converted, because Jesus has confidence in his intercessory prayer for us. Can you say amen? Amen. And when you are converted, when you come through this and you're another man. How many know when Peter got through all that testing? And Peter repented, and Peter wept bitterly, and Peter received his calling, fell deeply in love with the Lord, and fulfilled his calling. Amen. He became another man. He was a different Peter, and it wasn't Pentecost that did it. It was Jesus loving him. It was Jesus interceding for him. It was Jesus loving him. Amen. And the Bible said if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't have to sink his boat, put him in the belly of a whale. His own conscience pricked him so bad, he went out and wept bitterly. And the repentance process began when he began to weep over his own failure and his own sin. And Jesus forgave him. I mean, forgave him. And it wasn't Pentecost. When a young man growing up in the Pentecostal church, amen, I was taught that what changed Peter was when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what changed Peter. Amen. That's what made him so different and so dynamic. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That changed him. I don't read where the baptism of the Holy Ghost changed his character. The Holy Ghost is a power gift. Amen. It is a power to be and a power to do. But the actual change in the character is a work of the Spirit that is not something that just gives you power over the devil in a power struggle, but power over the devil because something inside of you has been changed. Amen. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust. But when something changes on the inside, hallelujah, and you have a hunger for righteousness, it is very difficult for the enemy at that point. What would I want to trade tonight? What sin is worth my salvation? What sin is worth the peace and joy that Jesus gives me? What sin is worth being able to lay down and know if I don't wake up absent from the body is present with the Lord? What sin can give me what God has already given me in Jesus Christ? Wow. What changed Peter? What changed Peter was unconditional love. When Christ loved him after his biggest failure and after denying him publicly, and Jesus loved him. The next time he saw Jesus was cooking fish on the bank after the resurrection. If you want a mystical God, you Jesus did exactly what they needed. Amen? He cooked fish. That's pretty practical, isn't it? Amen? He that Peter denied has cooked fish for him so that he can take nourishment. He just loved him, blessed him. And Peter, if Peter continued in rebellion, that would have been a different story. But Jesus knew his heart, saw his heart, saw his contrition, his repentance, and began to restore his soul. And when he stood on the bank with Jesus and Jesus looked him in the eye with love for him, Peter fell in love with Jesus Christ. Can you say, it was a different brand of love than he was trying to express in the upper room when he was so boastful and impetuous and said, they may deny you, but I will never deny you. And Jesus told him something that he didn't want to hear. Therefore, he closed his ears to. Jesus told him, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Can you say, man? But Peter could not conceive in that warm, fuzzy feeling. You know what they did after that Last Supper? After they were served that first communion meal, after he said, this is not just the Passover anymore. This is all going to change. It's not going to just be a celebration of the Passover feast, amen, anymore. This is going to turn into something more sacred. This is going to turn into something representative of a new and a better covenant. Amen. It's going to be ratified with my blood. Can you say, amen? It's going to be brought forth because of the breaking of my body. And after this kind of talking, the Bible said that they sang a hymn and went out. And they were in that atmosphere of such love and such power. And Peter said in that atmosphere, I will never deny you. They might, the rest of them may, but you can count on me. I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And in the meantime, they took Jesus and they took him away, and he went as a lamb dumb before his shearer. He didn't open his mouth or demonstrate his power. He looked helpless in the hands of men, and the fear of man came on those disciples. Amen. And Peter went sulking around trying to distance himself from Jesus and was warming himself at a fire in the twilight of daylight or the morning was about to break. And someone heard him talking. And when they heard him talking, denying, someone said, aren't you one of his disciples? And he said, I don't know him. Aren't you one of his disciples? He said, I don't know him. And they said, but your accent, your speech betrays you. You are one of his followers, aren't you? And he swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. And immediately, amen, daylight was breaking and the rooster began to crow, and he remembered the words of Jesus then. And they smote his heart when that happened, and he went out and he wept bitterly. Can you say amen? God, real children of God are not comfortable with sin. It's not that they can't and it's not that they don't, but when they do, they quickly repent. Why? Because a new nature has been imparted. At that time, it wasn't even a new nature, but this was a man that wanted to be right with God, that longed to be right with God, that had a heart for the things of God. And he was going to get a new nature at the new birth, but even before then, he was a man like David was, and he repented. And in that deep repentance, God saw it in his heart. And before he could even ask Jesus to forgive him, Jesus forgave him. Before he could personally see him, amen. Because on the bank after that happened, Jesus is cooking fish for Simon Peter. But he had warned him, Satan wants to sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Amen. I'm going to use the most vocal, the most verbal, the most visible failure in the bunch of you to strengthen the rest of you. It's pretty incredible, isn't it, that God didn't choose someone who didn't do what Peter did, but he chose Peter. And he said, they're going to need strength. And what you're going to receive from me in terms of forgiveness and grace, you're going to be well qualified, amen, to be a help to the rest of them. Amen. I do not want to hear preaching that doesn't include grace. I don't want to hear about power without grace because, amen. I don't want to hear that you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost and get so much power you can resist the devil. Listen, it's not, the devil's power is not in power against power. He's appealing to something in us. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, will bring forth death. But thank God that can be interrupted with repentance. It can be, oh, shalaba, kisalaba, bebe, hosanda. Repentance can plow under those evil seeds, hallelujah, and stop that harvest that sin would have brought. That's why I'm into repentance. I preach repentance at a time when that's an unwelcome message. It's all right with me that it's unwelcome because it's not going to stop me from enjoying the benefit and preaching the power of repentance. As many as I love Christ, said I what? Rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and what? Repent. Why? So I can restore you, cover you, bless you, hallelujah, and stop the consequences of sin and death. What a good God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't Pentecost that changed Peter. It was Jesus on the bank loving him unconditionally after he denied him. He didn't just love him with a religious commitment. He loved him from a passionate, heartfelt love. And Jesus could talk to this fearful, timid man differently. He could level with him and tell him he was going to die a martyr's death. And Peter was unfazed by that statement. The man that distanced himself for fear of dying that kind of death, now embraced that kind of death and said, if I can glorify you through it, it's okay. It took a great love in his heart to come to that place. Amen? He saw what crucifixion did to people. He saw it up close. He saw it firsthand. And if you think that man, that pale figure that we use in statue, I'm glad we don't show it as it really is because it would be so grotesque. Amen. But we need to understand what you see is in no way a representation. And no artist can do justice to what happened to Jesus. What you see in a picture or in a small statue of him impaled upon that cross with the dot, the precisely put dot of red in the wrist and the little bitty bit of blood in the side. Amen. That was not in any way representative of what happened to him on that cross and what happened to him when they scourged him, when they flayed his body, when they literally tore the... This didn't put welts on him. Amen. This didn't put a few little marks on him. This didn't put bruises on him. Amen. When the word wounded was used, when I was wounded for your transgressions, it was the Hebrew word for bore through. It was the tearing of the skin. When he broke the bread, he didn't hand wafers out to people. He didn't hand some kind of cracker out to people. He took a loaf of bread and he tore it in half. He wanted them to know they're going going to tear my body. They're going to tear my body. And I'm going to give it to be torn. Amen. And I'm going to give it to be torn because I love you so much. Can you say amen? And when they tear my body, the blood is going to flow. Amen. They're going to cut vessels. Vessels are going to be broken and blood is going to pour from my body. Amen. Not the major ones so that I die quickly, but capillaries are going to break in my skin and blood is going to come out. Small veins are going to be severed as I'm whipped with the cat of nine tails. When I'm whipped with the Roman scourge, long pieces of leather braided, and in the end, pieces of metal, pieces of glass, pieces of pottery. So when it wrapped around someone and they jerked it back, it would pull flesh from the body. It didn't leave wealth, it pulled flesh from the body. Psalm 22 said, my bones stare out of my body because this thin area was exposed. I preach it all the time, but I want you to understand tonight how passionate God loves you. When Peter got a hold of that, when he understood that, it changed him. He said, I will die for someone that would love me, who denied him to this degree to suffer that for me. I will die for him. So Jesus came to Peter and said, when you were young, here's that impetuous Peter, self-willed, strong-willed. When you were young, men girded you and took you. When you were young, you girded yourself and went where you wanted. You dressed yourself and you went where you choose. But when you're older, others will gird you and take you where you would not go. Thus signifying, the scripture said, the death by which he, Peter, should glorify Christ. And he received that message. Remember the first time Jesus talked to him about his calling? Amen. He was just kind of bothered him that he was asking much of him. And he said, what's that man going to do over there? Amen. Remember before he had this transformation, what's he going to do for Jesus? You're going to call me to preach and put up with all this. What's Terry going to do? Amen. Is he going to go fishing on Sunday while I'm counseling? Is he going to go fishing on Sunday while I'm praying? Is he going to go fishing on Sunday while I'm fasting or Saturday? Amen. Whatever. Amen. I didn't know you'd been fishing on Sunday. I'd never. Anyway. Fishing for men. All right. We'll go for that. What's he going to do? Peter said. But now Jesus is telling him, you're going to die a martyr's death to glorify me. And Peter didn't flinch. That didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. That happened on the bank when Jesus cooked fish for the man who denied him. And when he saw that kind of love to him who did not deserve it and that kind of grace, amen, then Jesus could talk to him about how much he was going to love him back. And he solicited love by loving him first and loving him unconditionally. He said, Peter, you love me. And Peter, looking at that man that he denied, that's looking to him in love and doing an act of love toward him, amen, he looked at him and said, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. I haven't changed my mind about using you, Peter. When you're converted, do what? Strengthen your brethren. When they see you loving and serving me with all of your heart, when they'll understand the power of my grace and the power of my love better. Amen. When they see that, when they see you come up out of this failure and they see me sustain you and bless you and use you, they're going to know what a gracious and good God that I am. And your testimony is going to be a strength. And here we are, right here in the 21st century. And Peter's testimony is going to strengthen somebody in this room tonight. Somebody in here is going to fall in love with Jesus one of these days because you're going to really see how much he loved you. And you're just going to love him back for loving you. And when you do, that first love is not only going to be rekindled, it's going to grow into even greater love. Can you say amen? Not only would you be willing to live for him, you're going to be willing to lay down your life for him. And people scratch their head and wonder, what kind of people do that? It's people that understand, receive, accept the love of God into their heart and into their life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Satan would love to sift you as the wheat. Plural. Not just Peter, but you and me. And he would if he could. And if we give place to him, he's going to hurt us. But there's a God who loves you tonight. There's a God who wants you to love him back tonight. There's a Christ who stands up and intercedes for you when the enemy plans something against you. He literally stands up to intercede and presents his body, amen, that has been hurt for your sake. Amen. He presents himself in intercession. He doesn't just ask God or pray to the Father. He presents his body broken. Wow. And the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. The problem in America, the reason Christianity isn't taken very seriously by a lot of world religions, is the practitioners of Christianity are not as committed. You better make church convenient if you want them to come. That's why we have the seeker-sensitive, the user-friendly churches that have grown up today. This experiment in finding out what their emotional felt needs are, trying to meet those needs. And the idea may have been noble in the beginning from some people, because the idea was, if we get them in church, if we can get all these people to get in church, then we can begin to move them closer to the cross and the true gospel. But we got to get them here. So the way to get them here, Jesus never did that. He hit them square in the face with the cross. Can you say amen? He said, if you love anybody better than me, forget about it. You'll never find. Because he knew it's going to take a commitment. And if you don't make the commitment, the world is going to pull you back. Can you say amen? The devil is going to come back in. If we don't make a full commitment to Christ, though it be swept and garnished, if it's empty, if we're not fully committed, if we're not filled, amen, the enemy is going to come back. One of the heart-rending things in me is seeing people come and have an exposure to the gospel and to the presence of God and the power of Christ, and then make decisions and choose the world over him and sin over him. Amen. And it's a heartbreak and heartache of every preacher that has a heart for the things of God. I don't just want people to come to this building. I want people to come to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And I want them to come to him in full surrender. I don't want them to accept him as their Savior, this free ticket to heaven, and then just go out and live enslaved by sin. I want them to know him as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And get under the leadership of a brand new master. Praise God. Amen. That's when the peace comes. The joy comes. And it doesn't come any other way. We're almost afraid to preach full commitment as Christ taught it, because we're afraid people won't join our group. They won't support our ministry. They won't give. They won't show up. We can't have a success symbol church if we tell them the truth. Honey, it doesn't matter how many people are in the building. His truth is the issue. And we do not need to change the gospel to accommodate a proud, stiff-necked generation who wants to keep their pride, hang on to their pet sins, and have Christ and all of the blessings of the new covenant. It doesn't happen that way. You can't serve two masters. Jesus wasn't trying to make it hard. He was trying to make it easy. Go ahead and make a real commitment to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And this tension between you and the world will be over, because the cross will. Oh, but what did Paul say about when you truly embrace the cross in a full-blown commitment? He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm not going to boast about all this third heaven experience, or people that were healed or set free or delivered, or the miracles that happened in my ministry. Amen. But if I'm going to boast, here's what I'm going to boast in. If I boast, if I glory, the word is boast, I'm going to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, because by it I'm crucified to the world. Hallelujah. And the world is crucified to me. I do not expect the world to embrace me. Amen. And the world does not expect me to embrace it, and I'm not going to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. But my yoke, if you decide to take it, it's easy. And my burden, it's light. Can you say amen? If you came here tonight to look at a preacher that's in some kind of religious box, you're wrong. You're looking to a prisoner that's been enslaved, that God has set free to serve him and follow him. And if you haven't made a real commitment to Christ, you're the one in the box. You're the one in the prison. You're the one that lays your head down tonight. And if your life is threatened, you've got to worry about it. It's such a thrill, amen, to not worry about dying. Oh, by the way, I don't like pain. I don't want to choke. I don't want to have pain. Amen. I do not like pain. I'm not talking about death pains or pangs. I'm talking about being dead. Being dead is not a concern of mine. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I love the wonderful story of finally a group of people really turned on Christian. Amen. And they went to witness to a rock star. They were ex-drug addicts themselves. And they'd been out on the street. And they knew all about the dangers of life. And this rock star invited them to his home to witness to him. He wanted to know more about the faith. When they got to this compound, because he lived in fear. He was so filled with fear. He had bodyguards and they had license to carry. Amen. They were packing. So they went in, and said, we're invited. And the message didn't get to the bodyguard. So they just knocked. Nobody answered. They walked in the door and a man met them. And he said, get out of here. He said, well, we have an invitation. He said, I said, get out of here. And he pulled back his coat. And there was his weapon, his 9mm, his 45, whatever he was carrying. Amen. And the one guy looked him in the eye, said, instant death, instant glory. Just don't, you know what I would have added to that? Just don't shoot me in the kneecaps. Put her here. Instant death. Instant glory. Can you say amen? Oh, don't cause me pain. I don't like pain. Can you say amen? But listen, you know what Peter did? You know what Peter did? Die an instant death. This is not biblical, but in history that has come down with the Bible of those who wrote of that time, it says of Peter that when they came for him, he said, I'm not to crucify him. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. Turn my cross upside down. Amen. They died for him because they fell in love with him. Amen. The Holy Ghost was a power gift to work for him and to serve him and to become in character more like him. But the commitment came because they received his love, appreciated his love, and loved him back with a passionate heart. Love transformed Peter, and love can transform you and me tonight. For God so loved that he gave his son. Wow. The Bible said if you want on a foundation, here's how you start your Christian walk, that you be rooted and grounded in love. The foundation for your faith is love as well. For faith worketh by love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. It's not just power. It's a person who embraces you and loves you. Hallelujah. 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 It transformed Peter's life. Transformed Paul's life. Amen. Jesus wanted to save him. He wanted to turn him around. He wanted to use him for his honor and his glory, this chief persecutor of the church. And what got to Paul, he said, among sinners, because I persecuted Christians, I consented to their death, I took part, I held the cloak of them that stoned the first Christian man to death. Amen. This bloodletting of Christians that goes on to this day. I started that. I represented the Sanhedrin. I was the prosecuting attorney. Amen. And through it, I persecuted Jesus unknowingly. Amen. But when I met him on the road to Damascus, he didn't come to kill me. He didn't come to take my life and damn my soul for my heinous sin. He said, there's a whole lot of sins out there, but when you do something against Christ personally, how much does God love you? How much does he love you tonight? Not just enough to die on the cross for you, but enough that whatever touches you touches him. Because when Jesus came, they couldn't touch him anymore. He was in a glorified body and he didn't come to be the Lamb anymore. He was God Almighty seated at the right hand of the Father. The everlasting Father is his name. Can you say amen? One with the Father. Can you say amen? Listen to me. This Jesus could have had him killed at that moment, a horrible death, and damned his soul to hell forever. But he didn't. He loved him. He saved him. Amen. He opened his blinded eyes through one of his servants. And Paul was blown away. Amen. Said, I'm the biggest sinner on earth. Amen. Because Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. When he said, who art thou, Lord? In other words, every time you touch a Christian, you touch me personally, directly. He's so identified with us. He's identified with our pain. He's identified with our failure. Amen. He's identified with our weakness and our heartache. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin, but he felt everything, experienced everything. He knows where you are, how to help you. He loves you. He cares for you. So therefore, knowing that he loves us so much, hallelujah, and understands us so well and knows exactly how to help us, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. Wow. If you ever fall in love with the Lord, you get a passionate heart for him. Amen. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and they're not grievous to him. You won't look like you've been eating oats through a 2-inch pipe. Like the horse that walked into the bar and the bartender said, why the long face? I've wanted to say that on Sunday morning so many times. But I think I know. And there's tension between us and the world, and there's tension between us and God. It's a pretty miserable place to be in. We sell out to the world. We're backslidden. We have to admit it. We've given place to the devil. If we don't sell out to God, then he's not satisfied with our lukewarmness. Amen. Tension between us and the world. Can't really enjoy sin because of conviction if we've really been changed. Amen. And conscience, because our conscience hasn't been seared. It's been made alive. It's been woke up. Can you say amen? There are people that have no conscience. The Bible said they would sin until their conscience would get absolutely numb to it, severed. The word that is used is actually cauterized, to where there is the nerve endings of the conscience have been seared with a hot iron and they don't feel anymore. Amen. Conviction, if you ever go to a church where you're convicted, we got a reputation here. I must warn people at the door. Amen. Enter at your own risk. You may be convicted. Oh, that's going to bring them in by the droves. People just love conviction. Amen. They love to go to church where they're convicted because they know God is loving me and caring for me there. No, they love to go to church where, amen, not only are they not convicted, but there's a whole lot of people doing the same thing they are in that church. They're really comfortable because they said they're compromised, I'm compromised, and the preacher's blessing us all on Sunday morning. I love this church. Can you say amen? Listen, God loves you too much. Listen, God receives you the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. Amen. He that began a good work in you is not going to say, oh, that's it. They got their free ticket to heaven. I'm done. No, he's going to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? God is still working on me. Believe it or not, I am not perfect yet. I know it's tough for some of you to handle that. Amen. I still have the capacity to get angry. I still have the capacity, amen, to speak a word in anger. I still have the capacity to want to slap somebody. I have felt it rise up in me. Amen. I got one good fight left in me, but I want to save it for the devil. Is that all right with you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, James and John were the sons of thunder at one time. They were known for their fighting. They were known for their hot temper. Can you say amen? But God took the sons of thunder, turned them into the sons of God. Amen. What a great God that we serve tonight. If people would understand how much he loved them, if they would conceive of what it meant for not a great king to die for them, but the God of glory to condescend to come down. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. I'm telling you something. This is an awesome thing for God to come into our world, for God to be incarnate, for God to take on flesh and allow that flesh to be torn for us. It's not a good man that died on that cross. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The horrendous death of Jesus and the wondrous love of God that allowed that death to take place and to take that agony. One thing God understood, because he's all-knowing, He understood it in his sovereign knowledge of all things, but he didn't understand it experientially. One thing God had never done, and that's been in one of these here. God is a spirit. He'd never been in one of these fleshly bodies, one of these fallen bodies too, not Adam's, ours. But he took on flesh. Amen? He took on flesh. He took on flesh, incarnate. And they shall call his name, this baby, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. God became flesh. If you want to know the spirit of Antichrist, where it's working, it's not as obvious as it may seem. Every spirit, in any circumstance, that does not confess that Christ, the Messiah, has come in the flesh, is Antichrist. Do you know there are religious movements right now in denominations that no longer believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? They believe he was a good man, but they do not believe that he was God in the flesh, God incarnate. Can you say amen? They don't believe it. And that becomes anti-what? Antichrist. If you're looking for this world leader, he will be the epitome of Antichrist. But the Bible said you don't wait for him to come on the scene to guard the faith and take your stand. Amen. The Spirit that's going to embody him doth already work. The Spirit of Antichrist is already at work. Amen. Preach anything you want. But Christ as the only way to God. Christ and Him crucified. Jesus as Emmanuel, God in the flesh. You can talk about God in all the eloquent theological terms you want, but don't preach Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Because that'll save a soul. That'll set a prisoner free. Amen. By this man, the disciple said, is preached unto you. Amen. The remission of sins through this man, through this man, through this man, through this man. Hallelujah. Wow. The world is going to accommodate religion. And there's a movement afoot. A world church is coming. And it will accommodate all the major religions. And it will be a political block. It will be a movement that unifies people. It will form in the name of tolerance. But one thing it will not be tolerant of, someone that says the only way to God is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus was God in the flesh. He wasn't a prophet. Islam accepts him as a prophet, but not as the Son of God. Does not believe he was crucified and rose from the dead. Can you say, man, doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection? Doesn't believe that God was incarnate? Doesn't believe that? Doesn't believe that he was the Messiah? Can you say, man? But as far as a good man and a great prophet, sure, amen. Sure, that's acceptable. But the core that makes up the gospel is totally unacceptable. Amen. You're going to, this movement, This movement is here. Amen. There is a spirituality coming that embraces the world religions and New Age and all of it together. And one of the things that's coming is polytheism. It's here. Many gods. Amen. Instead of one true God. And then there's another movement afoot that says there's one God, but there's many avenues to Him. All roads lead, whether you call Him by any name you want. Every road you take leads you to Him. That's an acceptable to the world movement that is afoot. If you want to go by Hare Krishna, you can go that way. If you want to go by Buddhism, you can get there on that avenue. Any road you take will lead you. A book, Into the Light of a Woman with a Near-Death Experience, was the number one seller for many weeks on the New York 10 bestsellers list because people wanted to know what happened when you die. And she said, I met Jesus in my journey. I went to the light and I met Jesus. And Jesus said that he was the author of all the world religions. No, that's not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. If the blood sacrifice was not necessary, then Jesus didn't need to hang on that cross. But it was essential to salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Can you say amen? Nobody can absolve you of your sin except the great high priest who became the great sacrifice. Can you say amen? The spirit of Antichrist doth already work, but there's another spirit at work, and it's the spirit of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He's working too. And in Marxist, communist China, 20,000 people a day are coming to Jesus. We want diversity. Be all inclusive. God wants everybody included too. He wants to save the world. But there's one God, the scripture said. One mediator between God and man. There's only one who could offer sinless blood and bridge this great gap that sin has created. And he is named. He has a name. Can you say, man? Halabakosandarababa. Shalamakirama. That's why they told them in the New Testament, the book of Acts, they had no problem with them practicing religion. They had no problem with them seeking G-O-D, God. Amen. Here's their problem. This is what they brought them before the councils. Bible said after that lame man was healed, oh, by the way, they want to know by what authority did you heal him to. Amen. They were owned to them because they didn't go through the religious body of the day. And they wanted to know, how in the world did you get him healed? And oh, what an opportunity it was for the apostles to preach. Said, remember the man you hung on the tree? Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Remember that guy? Amen. Whom God hath raised from the dead. Can you say, man, that through faith in his name, this man has his perfect soundness before you all. Amen. What they told him was very simple. They said, don't preach. Preach or teach, Acts chapter 4, anymore in this name. Didn't say don't preach or teach. Didn't say don't have institutions of teaching higher theology. Amen. Teaching all kinds of philosophy and theology. Teach all of that you want to. Amen. Give out doctors of divinity to the students when they're done. But do not preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And do not even use his name anymore. Amen. I remember the little book, The Jesus Factor, I told you about. Dave Wilkerson, who started Teen Challenge, who started so many other ministries to get young drug abusers set free back in the 60s and 70s. The U.S. government was getting a 20% rate of getting people help through methadone and other programs and counseling, amen, to take people and try to get them dried out and get them off of drugs. David Wilkerson was getting 80%. And only 20% went back. So the United States government in Washington, they invited him. Someone high in government invited him to Washington, D.C. And they said, we will give you government funding. Amen. Because your drug abuse program is 80% people stay free. Amen. And only 20% go back. Our program, the very best we can do is 20% free. 80% go back. And said, we want to fund you. But you know, this was way back before the real heavy church and state stuff started. But it was beginning. We can't give you government funding unless you do something. This Jesus stuff. They were willing to give him millions of dollars in grants to operate drug rehab centers. If you just leave out the Jesus stuff. He said, sir, as much as we need money to open more rehab centers, if you leave out the Jesus stuff, that's what makes us 80% to your 20. It's the Jesus stuff. It's the Jesus stuff. No wonder the devil hates the Jesus stuff. Because there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. And the devil says, no wonder he says, don't preach all these ways to God. Give out these free tickets to heaven. But don't preach Jesus as God incarnate. Don't preach him as God in the flesh. Do not preach Jesus, amen, as the way, the truth, and the life. You know why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Leave the Jesus stuff out, they said. The Sanhedrin is okay with you guys if you'll just never preach or teach in his name again. So the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. And right now, if you preach Jesus as the only way to God, the world looks at you as someone who is intolerant. that isn't cooperating with the game plan, that isn't in tune with what's going on. You are some kind of nutcase. You should be locked up. And they did it in Soviet Russia. People that believed that way were locked up in insane asylums. They did it in under the guise of them being out of their mind. Amen. They locked them up in Nazi Germany and exterminated them. But the first thing they did was send them, not just to the Nazi death, some of them were sent for preaching to insane asylums. One thing's for sure, Oprah will not have you as a guest on her show. Amen. Sister Ruth said, I wouldn't go if I was invited. Never fear, sister. You have nothing to fear. I haven't been invited either. Because I didn't write a book. Somebody else did, though, that I would love to share. We got so many people, the only way you can get on a program is to write a book. You can never get on there just because you carry this book and believe this book. This is old news. They want something new, different, exciting. Honey, this is the final authority. Every other book is subject to this book. Can you say amen? Every other writer is subject to this. Glory be to God. I love him today. I love him today. Philip went down to Samaria and held a healing meeting. No, he did not. But oh, the healing power. Amen. Everywhere you see a man represented as a faith healer, look out. Because the eyes go on the person and his anointing instead of Christ and his death and God and his power. Listen to me carefully. Amen. They will be elevated by people to pedestals. And on that pedestal, they better be careful. Because when a man says, behold, I stand, he better take heed lest he fall. Amen. Listen, the real revival God wants to send is going to be about the old rugged cross and the man who died on it. It will not be something new and different. Amen. Somebody said, this is the new anointing that's coming. Honey, there is no such thing as a new anointing. There's one anointing. There's one God, one mediator, one Holy Spirit. Amen. He was given on the day of Pentecost. He's been here in this earth ever since. Can you say amen? He's still the convincer of sin. He's still the only one that can draw you to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He's the only one that can take my words and sow them in the human heart because they're really his words from the Bible. Amen. Incredible. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Amen. And the sick were healed. And demons cried and came out of many. And people got saved. And they not only got saved, they said, we want everything God has. God is powerful and mighty. And they sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there were so many of them coming to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. That they asked for the brethren at Jerusalem to come down and help them, pray for them and lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. And they told you were nutty. What happens when God really moves is so supposed to be commonplace, not something that is striking. It should amaze us, but we shouldn't have such dry services that if God shows up at all, it takes us back. Amen. We should expect the Lord to move mightily. And what message is he confirming? What message is he confirming? What message did he pour all of that out? They weren't preaching miracles. They weren't just teaching hyper faith. They were not preaching healing. What were they preaching that had? Were they preaching deliverance? Just a whole deliverance message, talking about an hour about the devil and 10 minutes about Jesus? Is that what they were doing down there? Came in to get people set free? No, their message was singular. Amen. They were preaching Christ. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you but what? Christ and him what? Crucified. He said, that's the core of the gospel. You remove that, it is not the gospel anymore. Can you say? But listen to me carefully. He preached Christ unto them. And the Bible said the sick were healed. Demons were cast out. Many people got saved. They sought to be filled with the Spirit. It shook the entire city. And the Bible said there was great joy in that city. No wonder the devil wants to get us in every possible tangent and error that he can. But take the spotlight off of Jesus Christ. Put it on anyone you want. Shine it into the heavens and talk in glowing terms about God. But don't put it on Jesus. Because no one's going to get saved because they believe in God. That's right. You have to believe on Christ, because he's the mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. That message is bringing persecution. It will worsen. You might as well buckle in and make your call and election sure and take your stand. That message is going to bring a lot of consternation, amen, from the world about you and from the Christian world. Because Christian doesn't necessarily mean anymore that you are a follower of Jesus exclusively. Some of the statistics about this election were staggering, because it was talking about the people that in the evangelical, which is supposed to be more, the more committed area of Christianity, in evangelical Christianity, there is an embracing and acceptance of divorce. There is an embracing and acceptance of abortion. There is an embracing and an acceptance of diversity, which means, yeah, this is what we believe, but that's what you believe. And if you're sincere in what you believe, you'll get there just like we'll get. That is in evangelical Christianity. That means somebody has lowered the standard. I love Tony Evans. I told you this. I love something Tony Evans said about the young man in a playground that was shooting the basket and missing a lot because he hadn't grown yet enough to be tall enough to be more accurate in basketball. You don't have to be real tall, but you know, if you're really short and you're a kid, it's further for you to hit the basket than it is when you're 6 foot tall or 5 foot eight even. When you're 4 foot seven, it's a lot harder to hit that basket. So he asked his dad if he would lower the standard down, if he would go out and set another pole up and put a lower standard down so he could hit it and he could have a lot more fun rather than growing so that he could hit the official standard. Let's change the rules. Let's bring the standard down so it can be low enough for me to hit. You know what we've done to accommodate the culture's plea for diversity and acceptance? You know what we've done? You know what we've done? We've lowered the standard. And it's so easy. It's so easy. You don't have to forsake. You don't have to commit. In many circles, you don't need to repent. The word sin is not even used in association with the gospel, and Jesus died to forgive our sins when he lifted up the cup. This is my blood that is shed for the sins of many. And now sin, that three-letter word, is worse to use in many churches than a four-letter word. Because people have an aversion to that. Why would anyone have an aversion to having your sins forgiven? What pride in man would keep us from admitting that we are sinners in need of a Savior? I love what one great preacher said. He said, I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's every true Christian's testimony. So we see a move toward the world church. We see a move toward polytheism at one time, but the most popular right now is one God with many ways to him. That will allow for a world church. When that acceptance comes, we will practice our religion as long as we're sincere in what we're practicing, we get to heaven. You sincere in what you practice, you get to heaven. That's why the book was such a big seller. And many Christians read the book and they said, well, the woman had an experience. She was there. Jesus told her, who am I to question that? Honey, you got every right. You have a mandate from God and a responsibility to God to question that. Because that's not what the Christ of the Bible said. That's what. Oh, by the way, the lady did not die in the finality. Because when you die in the finality, you don't come back. You go somewhere. And the Bible said, if an angel of light bring you another gospel, we are an angel of light, let him be anathema. It's amazing how many people get their information from angels that contradict the Bible. Question then is, whose angels were they? You say, well, the devil, he wears pitchfork. He has horns. Got a pointed tail. Yeah. He was the anointed cherub at one time. Walked among the coals of the altar. Amen. In the very presence of God. Pipes were created in him. He had something to do with worship in heaven. He was created with the ability to make music within himself without an instrument. Amen. He was an incredible angel. No marvel then. Someone that's lived for eons in the presence of God that he mimicked. That's why Paul said, if you see an angel of light, he preaches another gospel, you flatly reject the angel. You have an unction from the Holy One. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the Spirit of truth is mighty tonight. The Word of God is mighty tonight. Angels are subject to our judgment because of the Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit. You have a special anointing to know truth tonight. That's why something's resonated in your soul right now. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Hallelujah. These are days of great darkness, but do not be afraid. You are the children of light. Put on the armor of light and don't fear the darkness, saith the Lord. But know that I am with you and I will lead you and I will guide you. My word will be a lamp to your feet and a light unto your pathway. Therefore, the darkness will not hinder you from following the true path, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise tonight. Will you stand your feet? Let's just give God praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good tonight? Glory to the Lord. Well, I'm an old school preacher. I have not been re-educated. There is no propensity in me to change. Whatever the consequences, and believe me, there have been and will continue to be. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. Amen. There's no faith but the faith that was once delivered. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. God does not edit it. Amen. To fit the culture, the postmodern world, the new age, the new tolerance and inclusivism of this movement that's afoot today. I'm not intolerant. I love everybody. I mean that. One of the things sinners hate for you to say, I'm saying, that God can love the sinner while hating the sin. And he did. He gave his son for everyone that is sinning out here today. Amen. But he hates the sin. That will never change. He's a holy God. And I, for one, am glad that he sent his son. I'm glad he came in flesh. I'm glad that he demonstrated a love that I can't get my mind around that love. But in my heart, I know it's true and I accept it. Praise God without question. Because hanging on that cross, my God died for me. Amen. He had names given him before he was called Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? In the Old Testament, it said his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. Can you say amen? Jesus thought it not robbery to be called equal with God because he was in fact equal with God. One God made up of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One in character, one in holiness, one in purpose. I do nothing that I don't see my Father do. My words are not mine, but what I hear my Father say, I and my Father are one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That God would come down. That God would go to the cross. That the God of glory would leave that glory. And that he would experience pain, heartbreak, heartache, like you and me. And make himself vulnerable to the hate, to the insults, to the pain and pangs of death. He took it all, the suffocating, the hurt. He took it all. When Peter saw him love him like that, he fell in love with Jesus. And if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. and they won't be grievous. He'll do it with joy in his heart. Amen?
Amen.
So if we teach a Christ that's not worth that kind of commitment, men and women will never love him enough to follow him like that. And we will have a watered-down form of Christianity that the false religions of the world will be more committed to their God. See, Islam, as one of the ranking officials in the government said, Islam gives their sons to die for Allah, to kill and to die for Allah. God gave his son to die for us. Isn't that incredible? What a difference. What a difference. These are the last of the last days, and all of the things that I have taught you concerning in my word these days are coming to pass before your very eyes, saith the Lord. Yes, these are dangerous times, but I want to gather my people to myself. Amen. Yea, I want to gather my people to myself. Yea, I want to gather my people to myself and keep you close to my bosom in these times and keep you under the covert of my wings and guide you and keep you with my truth. You are safe where I want to bring you, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Will you just join hands here tonight? I want us to pray together. I want to ask one question before we pray. Is there anyone in this room that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior? If you died tonight, you couldn't know in your heart that you would be in heaven with Him forever. Is there anyone here that needs Jesus as your personal Savior? I'm going to ask a second question. Is there anyone here that needs to make a deeper commitment to the Lord? Amen. Is there anyone here that feels the need to make a deeper commitment to Christ? Thank God for that hand, that hand. God sees it. Anyone else? That hand, that hand. God sees it. Anyone else? The Lord sees it tonight. Praise God. It's time to take your stand because you're going to have to make choices. When you leave this building tomorrow, you're going into that culture. It is anti-Christ. And you're going to have to make decisions about whether you deny Him, you're ashamed of Him, or you stand up for Him in that culture. Jesus said this to you, and I'm going to say His words to you tonight. You can't claim Him here and go out there and try to identify with the world and leave Him behind at church. Amen. If you're ashamed of me before men, here's Christ's message to you tonight. If you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father and His angels. Amen. If you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father and His angels. You can't be an undercover Christian. That's something God will not allow and the kingdom of God will not accept. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father and His angels. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know what you're looking for tonight, but I would rather have Jesus confessing that I belong to Him before the Father and the angels of God. Amen. Than to have people loving me, embracing me, patting me on the back. Amen. Listen to me tonight. That's more important to me. If everyone left this church and turned against me tonight, I do not regret standing up and declaring to you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now is the time to take your stand, make your calling and your election sure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be His wonderful name tonight. Praise God. Amen. You have an appropriate song.